everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, just breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen are, you know, dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And today on our Authors Alley, I'm excited to be sharing Angie Tafos, who is calling us from London. Angie is a published children's book author who has combined her love of traveling and writing to design a book series aimed at promoting acceptance and diversity for young children. She's also a mindset and life coach, as well as an energy healer at The Net Life. She is really passionate about helping women believe in themselves and live a positive life away from stress, anxiety, self-doubt, self-criticism, and people-pleasing. Prior to this, Angie was a successful consultant in banking for more than 10 years and has now shifted her life into what she is doing now, and I can't wait to hear her journey. So, Angie, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
It's really nice to be sharing you. How's London?
It's actually really lovely today. I think the sun is finally coming out. So, yes, spring is definitely here.
Hopefully spring's all over, gets the warm weather in here to get rid of everything that's going on. Pretty crazy, the things that are happening right now. So, share your journey with us that led you to write this book series.
Okay, so I actually had this idea about the book 7 years ago. So I was still working in banking, and my sister was pregnant with her first child, so my nephew Sebastian. And I had this idea about a book about a little boy, you know, who would be traveling around the world, discovering new countries and cultures. It was one of these ideas that really stuck to me. So as I was, you know, busy in the corporate world, I kind of tried to ignore it and said, oh, you know, I don't have time to do this. But then it kept coming back over and over, and I just could not ignore it. So then I decided to put pen to paper and write down the story. And I literally based the main character, Sebi, on my nephew, Sebastian, because Sebi is his nickname. And yeah, I started writing the story down, and it changed quite a bit over, I would say, over the years, because it only got published last year. So, you know, it took a good 6 years of working on it to take it to where it is now. That's basically how the book came about.
You know, it's amazing the time that it takes and from idea to fruition. And it's a really, I have to tell you, it's a very sweet book. The illustrations are gorgeous. I like the story. It's really a nice story. And I want to know what you're hoping to achieve writing this book series.
I've got, like, I really have three things that I want to achieve. The first one was, I hope that the series really lights up the little explorer within every child. You know, as part of the series, I want to take Sebi to all the major continents to visit countries like China, Japan, Australia, Greece, Morocco. So I just want every child to, you know, I want to ignite their curiosity to discover new countries, new things, and different ways of living. And, you know, I hope that if ever they do get to visit these countries, you know, they'll have this excitement of being able to try some of the things that they've read about. The other thing was, I want to promote diversity and acceptance at a young age. I think it's important for children to understand that, you know, differences between the way we look, the beliefs, the cultures are interesting and it's fun to explore. And also that, you know, there are similarities because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all humans. And I wanted every book to have a female character as well. So, you know, when Sebi goes to different countries, he will be meeting a local girl who will teach him about, you know, her home and how she lives. I think, you know, it's important for me to increase the presence of girls in books because I've got a daughter myself. And the last thing that I'm hoping to achieve is really close to my heart. So both my daughter Alicia and my nephew Sebastian are of mixed background, just like me. And I really want to teach them that, you know, being different is exciting, as there's so much that you can teach others, so much that you can share. You know, it's something that I think should really be embraced and not something that, you know, they should be ashamed of or something that they should hide, especially living, you know, in Western countries. You know, it's quite you know, apparent that, you know, they would have a different culture. And I just think it's important for them to be proud of that and to be proud to share it.
I love that. You know, it's funny. A friend of mine once said that it's kind of the next evolutionary chain with all of the different cultures marrying and new children coming with all, you know, my kids, I'm Italian, Spanish, Polish, and Puerto Rican. My children's father is English, Irish, German, and French. So my kids are just this melting pot of so many things. And my mom was a very progressive mom because I'm in my 60th year at this point. And she taught me back in 1960-something that if there was any difference between the quote-unquote races, I'm doing, you know, finger quotes in the air, other than the color of our skin or the slant of our eyes, we wouldn't be able to have children together. All of those things happened from where our ancestors came from. I so appreciate that I grew up with that because, sadly, here we are in 2020, still needing to bring awareness to diversity and acceptance in the diversity that is out there in the world. You know, so I applaud you for doing this because, let's face it, children have to be taught to hate and fear. That song from South Pacific is the truth. No child wakes up, you know, knowing that there even is a difference. If you don't point it out, they don't see it. So I have to ask you, because you set the first book in India, why was that your first choice? And is there something special for you?
Yeah, well, so actually, funnily enough, the first book that I wrote about 7 years ago was about France, because originally from Mauritius, and it was a French colony, so it had quite a big influence on my island. But then, you know, after writing it, I thought again, and I thought, you know what, I really want to write about a country that doesn't feature much in children's books today. And I thought India was perfect. On my dad's side, his great-grandparents came from India. So, you know, whilst I didn't grow up following the Indian faithful traditions, I was still exposed to them through his family. So, you know, I went to many parties and many festivals that they held, and it was always so colorful, so fun, so full of light. You know, it's quite a lot of their beliefs are very pure. And as a child, it was always fun to discover that. And, you know, I remember going to weddings and eating on a banana leaf. You know, that's so different. It's something that you don't, you know, that you don't get to do, eat with your hands on a banana leaf. It's like fun when you're a child. And I just, you know, really wanted to bring that and share that with other children so that they could, you know, see really how, you know, how India is and what it has to offer.
I have to tell you that I love it. And my daughter has actually been in India since October. And as we're taping this right now, because this is going to air at a later date, she's actually flying back today. And for my mommy's sake, because of everything going on with the coronavirus and stuff, I was so worried. She wasn't supposed to come home till the end of the month. I was afraid she wouldn't be able to get back in to the country. Mm. So I was like, you know what, just please, for your mother's peace of mind, just come home. So she flew, I forget where she was, but she flew to Mumbai. Then she flew to Doha to be able to get a direct flight into New York without having to change countries. She loved being there. And I feel sad because she was working. This was her 3 week time that she was taking after her work was done to just travel the country. But I cannot wait to hear all of the stories because the photos she has sent me, beautiful. It really is a beautiful, beautiful country. So I love that when I was reading the book and saw that it was in India, it totally touched my heart because of that, you know?
That's really lovely. Now, it is such a wonderful country and they have so many lovely traditions that they've kept as well. So, and the clothes and the food. So I can't wait for her to tell you all about it.
You know what? I'm serious. And I love the conversation that Sebi has, and it's, you know, it's so funny. So many things about your book touch my heart because my godson's name is Sebastian and his nickname is Sebi. So, you know, there are just so many different things, Angie, that really touched me about this book. How difficult was it for you to get it published, or was it an easy process? What did you have to go through?
It was actually really really tough to get it published, to be honest. And, writing the book was really easy. Working on the image, on the images, and, dreaming about how it would look was so enjoyable. But the publishing process was really tedious because I had reached out to all these different publishers and I got so many rejections. And I think, for any authors out there, I have to say that, you just need to keep going because, it's so easy to get disappointed and daunted by the many rejections that you get. And you kind of start questioning whether you're doing the right thing. But, as I mentioned at the start, this idea just kept, staying with me, and it stayed with me for such a long time that I was like, I can't let it go. I need to get going. And funnily enough as well, I think it's important when you're trying to get your project out there to share it with as many people as you can, because I remember seeing my osteopath and I was telling him about my book and he got so interested in it. And he said to me, I would love to read it. And he read it. And it turns out that he was also a coach on the side, and I had no idea of that. And he read the book and he gave me some pointers, which I applied in the new versions. And then I sent the new versions out to the publishers. And when I did that, I think after a month, got one that got interested. So it was a very interesting process and it was hard. But I think my advice as well for other authors would be to share your ideas with as many people as you want, as you can, to, get feedback and also get advice, because you never know where that help is going to come from.
I agree. So tell us a little about the website for your book.
Yes, so I wanted to take the experience of the book further. So I built this website myself, which was quite interesting because I've never done this before. And on there you can find fun activities that parents can download for their kids. So you can find puzzles, crosswords, coloring images. There are also some recipes of sweets, of Indian sweets that you can make with your children. And we also have a short video of my nephew teaching other children how to say, how to greet people in Hindi. So that's really what I've got on there for everyone to use. And, as more books are produced, I want to continue adding on to the website, adding more fun things for kids to do, really.
I love that. I love interactive websites. I think that they are something that more, especially authors, and in something like this, it makes a lot of sense to do. So this is your first book. Are you now a full-time author?
So writing is one of my jobs that I'm doing at the moment. So as I mentioned before, I was previously working in banking for quite a while. And when I first started working on the book, I was still in banking. But then 2 years ago, I had a career change. So writing is now one of the jobs that I love. Like I really love doing. So, and in terms of, to give you a bit of an idea of what I'm writing at the moment, I'm working on the second book in the series, and I'm hoping to take Sebi to Japan as part of that book. And I'm also working on a few other ideas. Still children's book, one of them being quite spiritual, so I'm hoping to teach children about angels as well through some mini stories. So, yeah.
I love it. On that note, we are going to take a quick break and say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment on Word of Mom Radio.
As parents, keeping our school safe is our utmost concern. SafetyBags.com offers a line of clear bags and backpacks, not only for the students, but for the teachers, administrators, and everyone else entering that school, because asking our students to carry clear bags puts the responsibility of keeping our school safe literally on the backs of our children. Safety Bags offers a way to partner with the schools in keeping them safe. So visit us at safetybags.com and you will see why we are the clear choice. Because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than 1 in 4 children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Join stadiumbags.com in our efforts to keep schools safe. 10% of every bag sold will now be donated to different organizations promoting safety in our learning environments. Not only do our clear bags take the hassle out of going through security, but they make a difference. So join us at stadiumbags.com because you'll see why we are the clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with Angie Tafos, and we've been talking about her book series that she has written, but I want to kind of switch over and talk about your work as a life coach and an energy healer at the Net Life.
Absolutely. So this is something that, you know, I've recently started. It's been about 2 years that I've moved into this area. And I'm all about, you know, working with clients that feel that, you know, they want to make this change in their life and they don't really have the confidence to go for it, because I really just want to help everyone to believe in themselves and see the potential that I see within them. I want to, you know, teach them to love and trust themselves and know that they have everything it takes to go forward, to step into their true power and, you know, operate from a place that is steeped within their values. Because I feel that, you know, when you're in alignment with your values, your core values that you believe in, everything becomes so much clearer and you have direction. So, you know, I'm really happy to be, you know, working with my clients to help them have confidence and to, you know, share their voice and hold strong boundaries for themselves without, you know, without too much fear. So I won't say without any fear, because I do think that some level of fear is good, because it means that you're stretching yourself and you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and you're growing. But for, you know, for you to know that fear is there telling you, wow, you know, you're extending yourself, but that it's not there and crippling you from moving forward. So that's really what I love doing. And, you know, apart from coaching, I also do Reiki and use different healing modalities like emotional freedom technique, which is tapping. So everything that I use in my practice are things that I have used myself on my journey. So I've had my own challenges to overcome in life. And, you know, I've used coaching and I've used Reiki and tapping and meditation. All these things have really helped me be where I am today and overcome, you know, the obstacles that I had. And because I found it to be so helpful for me, I decided to, you know, to learn and to apply it with my clients. And I have to say, you know, even though I know, yes, it did work for me, every time it works for my clients as well, I always have this little moment of, oh, yeah, you know, it's still working. So that's what the Net Life is all about. It's really helping people, you know, cultivate this love of themselves and to really believe in what they can achieve.
How did you come about, especially Reiki, I love Reiki. I really do. Explain to people what that is, because so many people hear the term, but they're not quite sure.
Yes, so Reiki, it's all, I think the simplest way of explaining it is it's energy. So we're all made of energy, right? Our body has energy, the environment, objects around us have energy, right? So we're all made of energy. And Reiki is really about helping you connect to the source, so to the universe, that higher power, whether it be God, Buddha, Jesus, you know, whatever you believe in, it's really that universe. You're using that universal power, energy to direct it to a person. And what it does, it's really giving you a feeling of well-being. It helps you process through emotions that might be stuck in your body. It could help you let go of worries or anxieties. It's just a time where you can really relax and feel the energy come to you and just bring you whatever it is that you need at this point in time. And that's really it. Because sometimes as a practitioner, when you're working with someone, you might think, oh, you just want the person to completely overcome whatever struggle they've got and to let go of all negative emotions. But it's really about what's best for that person at this point in time. So it could be that, you know, it's just like a gentle process of letting go over a period of time. And it's just here to really bring a feeling of well-being by using energy that comes from the source. Yeah, I hope that kind of explained what it is, really.
That's actually a great explanation.
Good. I'm glad. I think it's also very hard to picture, because when you see when you see someone, you know, there's no touching involved. It's just literally through the intention and sacred symbols that we use to direct this energy to the person.
My jaw's kind of hanging open, because how did you go from being a consultant in banking? Angie, what a journey to completely transition your life. I can't even think of things that are more diverse than, you know, banking and energy work.
Absolutely. It is completely different. And I will, you know, I'll be honest in saying that I first found out about Reiki when I was in banking, and it was at the time when I was feeling quite stressed and anxious with all the responsibilities that I had. And one of my friends funnily at work mentioned it to me, and I gave it a go and I loved it. And I did it, but I would not openly tell other people I was learning Reiki and getting Reiki treatments, because not everyone is open to that, especially when you're in such a rigid environment, you know, in the corporate environment where you also have to behave a certain way to kind of like move ahead. So it took me a long time to kind of feel ready to announce to everyone what I was doing. But in answer to your question, you know, I've worked in that industry for 13 years, actually for more than 13 years. And at the beginning, I was really excited to go to work. Like, I was looking forward to getting up in the morning and going to work. But I think as the years went by, I felt like there was something missing. And when I became pregnant, this gap became even bigger, and it really weighed me down. And, you know, I really felt like I had to really look at my path again and figure out what I wanted to do. Because especially as my daughter was born too, I was thinking, you know, if I had to spend time away from her, I want to spend time away from her doing something that I love, you know, because I don't want to, I'm lucky. And I have to say that I was in a lucky enough position to be able to pursue that dream that I had. So I looked at all the years that I spent working, and I realized that, you know, I really got my buzz from helping staff, my junior staff, or even like peers flourish. Like, I really enjoyed coaching them and mentoring them the most. So I thought, you know what, this is what I should be doing. And I had also, since I moved into London, spirituality became bigger and bigger for me. And, you know, I found out about Reiki, about shamanic healing, about tapping, and I tried it on myself, and it made such a big difference in my life, and, you know, made me overcome the problems that I had, that I thought, you know, there's definitely something there, and it's definitely something that I want to bring to people who are open to it, because, you know, it can really change your life, and it can really give you that confidence that you're missing, really. So, yeah.
On that note, this is a great way to be wrapping up this interview. So why don't you share with everybody how they can find you, and what would you like to leave our listeners with?
Absolutely. So I would love to, you know, if you do get the book for your child, I would love to hear what you think about it. I would say please go to www.globalsebi.com and leave me a note to let me know, you know, what you thought, and also what countries you would love Sebi to go to next. And I would also like to, you know, to love to get in touch with you. I've got an Instagram page, which is the_net_life, and that's where I often give advice around positivity, spirituality, you know, how to, as you mentioned yourself, we're living in tough times at the moment, and there's going to be so much change, and changes can be so unsettling, because we're going to have to leave in a slightly different way in the next few months. So, you know, I always give messages of how to, you know, keep your chin up and to move forward despite everything that's going on. So please have a look at my Instagram page, or follow me on Facebook at The Net Life, and I would be absolutely happy to, you know, to answer any questions that you've got. You can also learn a bit more about me on my website, which is www.thenetlife.co.uk. So it's been, you know, an absolute pleasure to share that time with you and to share my story. I feel really privileged, and, you know, I can't wait to hear back from your audience to see what they thought.
I look forward to you hearing back from our audience as well. Angie, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today here on Word of Mom Radio. And for all of you tuning in, thank you so much for spending time with us. We hope that you find value in what we do because we really love it here. So on behalf of everyone here at Word of Mom Radio and the Word of Mom Media Network, we're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So again, on behalf of everyone, I'm Dori DiCarlo. Go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.